50, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Rebel Wireless and Quaker Steak and Lube, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It pushes, and he did! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Well, a newsy day in Berea. Lots of stuff going on. The third and final day of mini camp practices was today. Players took the field and then they took off for a little bit. They actually wrap things up officially in the morning. The coaches and such go through the tapes of what took place on the field, and then they convene next week on the field for phase two of the, quote, on-field portion. And then there was a news conference. Joe Banner, the CEO of the Browns, Michael Lombardi, the GM of the Browns, sat down and met with the media, talking draft. It's the basic pre-draft conference that GMs and the people who run teams do throughout the league. So the Browns had theirs today. Not a lot of stuff was said, and I didn't expect any secrets to be revealed. You don't do that. I mean, that's the whole point. And these guys, like the other teams, they're in the information gathering business, the whole personnel department. They're looking for any clues, tips, whatever, from other teams. So they know other teams are looking for the same from the Browns, and it behooves them to really keep a lid on everything and anything they do. And when stuff does get out, sometimes it's very intentional, but I didn't even sense that there was much of that today when Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi were speaking with the media. But good news for the show, Mike Lombardi sits down with us for a one-on-one interview and goes in depth on the thought process behind everything that this team is doing leading up to the draft. Really some good material there. Again, he's not going to give away the trade secrets. Who are they going to pick? What kind of trade are they going to make? Or are they going to make a trade? But the thinking behind everything that they want to do, and an interesting scenario with him as a GM now, the first time running a draft as a general manager versus doing so previously as a personnel guy here in Cleveland, and then having that time in between those stints in the media. So we'll get into some of that too, and I think it'll be very interesting. In addition to that, we've got our round table together. We've got a couple of beat guys from the Browns, Scott Petrick, who covers the team for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, Nate Ulrich for the Akron Beacon-Journal, join me to break down what we heard earlier today, what we've seen in the mini camp, and how everything kind of looks going forward for this football team heading toward the draft, what the scenarios are, because it's all about everybody's speculation and everybody's thoughts. The draftniks are doing it nationally. People do it locally. So the three of us kick around some thoughts there. And you're going to hear from one of the newest Browns, Shane Graham, the kicker, the veteran kicker who was added recently. Jameer Howerton sits down with him. He will be competing with Brandon Bogate for, right now, it's the two of them. It could be another kicker added somewhere along the line, but right now it's two kickers competing for that spot. Now, Graham has not done, he's done almost no kicking. I think he did a little bit, I think, the first day of minicamp, but there's a veteran sort of thing that's understood. Kickers don't do, and this was true with Phil Dawson in his veteran years with the Browns, you don't do kicking this early. You sort of just get into the process, and it's step by step. There really is sort of an effective pitch count on the leg. I don't know what you call a kick count, I guess, for veteran kickers to not overdo it when it's not absolutely necessary, and this time of year it certainly isn't. So the young guy, Bogate, is doing the kicking, and saw him kicking out there today. The Browns, after 2 days of being indoors with their minicamp workouts, were out on the field today, and Bogate was the one doing the kicks. But Graham is part of the scene and is a veteran player, so it'll be interesting to get some thoughts from him about becoming a Brown after the time he spent in the division with the Cincinnati Bengals. And dealing with kind of the weather here, beautiful. Today was a picture-perfect day in many regards. A little wind, but my God, it was so nice to be outside watching a football practice. All right, your questions, your comments, you submit those to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. You email us here at daily@clevelandbrowns.com. And what do we got here? We've got Alan from Twitter. He says, Vic, why are your people, my people, talking guard at number six. The people writing, not the people running the team. We wrote about it for ClevelandBrowns.com. I don't think we were necessarily talking about the team getting a guard there. I'm not sure where this is coming from. But anyway, no team has five all-pro linemen. This is the bigger point of Allen's tweet. No team has five all-pro linemen. You don't need five all-pro linemen. Defense is a top priority. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Allen. Now, I'll throw this out there. I don't rule out the possibility that the Browns on value, wherever they may pick, now we're making this discussion about the sixth overall pick because that's the pick we know they have. But if they trade down, they move into the middle of the round. It's a different thought now as to what the value looks like at that pick. Remember, it's all about that, and we'll get into that with Mike Lombardi as well. It's all about how you rate value for where you're choosing, right? I'm going to say it's that simple, and it's really not that simple because you're being very it's an opinion, and you're relying on your consensus. Your opinion on this may be very different than that of another team, but value is how you define value, and it wouldn't shock me one bit if, after all this discussion about pass rushers and cornerbacks, and if this team did move, all of a sudden an old lineman did come into the play, and they said, you know what, we could take, say, Mitchell Schwartz, move him inside, put him at guard, right? Not the fleetest of foot tackle, but a very good tackle, I think, a guy who played tackle. As a rookie, a lot of us give him high marks for what he did. But a big guy who's got that anchor ability, right? You slide him in, he doesn't get pushed back, and you think about it. Where does your pressure come from? I mean, the vast majority of what gets in a quarterback's face, when guards are knocked back into their faces. And that's really, it's that middle pressure. You ask the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they'll tell you the same thing, that's the most difficult thing to deal with. And it doesn't, you know, tall, short, whatever your size at quarterback, more than the stuff coming around the edge, it is that middle pressure if your guards can't do their job. So play the what-if game here. If things change and they move down, they know they got a second-round pick to deal with someone else or something else in a trade scenario, and they were to go O-lineman there, that just wouldn't shock me. It's not the scenario I'm expecting, and I'm with you, Allen, that the need isn't, in my mind, as obvious, but if you want to really firm things up, and we have those questions lingering at the left guard spot in particular with Jason Pinkston coming back from that blood clot, just some food for thought that you could do that shuffling, and it just wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world to ponder. And I think I've heard some other people speculate on that, you know, outside the team about, well, what about if you kicked Mitchell Schwartz inside and then did something else for a tackle if there was one there that you had to absolutely positively have. Just thoughts. Okay, coming up, you're going to hear from the guy who will actually be part of the decision-making process. That's not me. I just get to talk about it. But Mike Lombardi, the general manager of the Browns, is going to join us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease the best-selling Fusion or Escape for only $189. Your choice, only $189. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
running around. Discount Drug Mart West Valley Plaza is now open at the corner of Marks Road and Route 303 in Brunswick Hills. That's right, Discount Drug Mart is now in your neighborhood, saving you the runaround on health and beauty, groceries, frozen foods, fresh produce, fresh meat and deli, cold beer, fine wines, greeting cards, DVD rentals, and much, much more. Plus, save on generic prescriptions starting at just $1.99. Stop in today at the new Discount Drug Mart West Valley Plaza at the corner of Marks Road and Route 303. Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
We're about to go party to party, Bud Light and Pitbull to the East Coast. Stop.
They all having a good time out there.
Keep it moving to the West Coast with Bud Light. Dial it. Here we go. Let's take it down south. Dial it. Bud Light, together again with Pitbull. Here we go.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Enjoy responsibly.
Half-price books in the month of April. A perfect fit. When there's a world of new and used books on any subject, records, CDs, movies, games, and almost everything is half price or less, besides the old tax return, April definitely calls for a return to your neighborhood half-price books. Just think about what's happening in April. Jazz Appreciation Month and Record Store Day. Half Price Books has tons of vinyl, CD box sets, biographies of your favorite artists. It's also Confederate History Month. An amazing selection for every history buff. Earth Day. And just think how much Half Price Books has helped the environment by making great books we've enjoyed available to others. It's also Financial Literacy Month. So hurry to your neighborhood Half Price Books and learn just how much you can save on what you love to read, watch, or listen to. Half Price Books in North Homestead, Mayfield Heights, and Metter. To find out more about the store nearest you, visit halfpricebooks.com.
All right, put this on your calendar. The Cleveland Browns 2013 NFL Draft Party. That's Thursday, a week from today, April 25th. At First Energy Stadium, the first day of the draft. Watch all of the first-round draft action, including visits from current and former Browns players. Going to be live broadcasts and the chance to personally select your seats for the 2013 season. Doors open at 6 p.m. Admission is free. For more information, visit ClevelandBrowns.com. And this segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. We're now with Browns General Manager Mike Lombardi talking about the 2013 draft, which is now only a week away. And, Mike, the first thing I think I want to start with is, where are you in this process? Where is the board set, and how comfortable and confident are you that everything is in place for this draft?
Well, you know, I think you're comfortable in the sense that you're still working at it. I think you're still going over it. It's like preparing for a bar exam. I mean, you are constantly still studying. You don't know what the questions are going to be. So even though you have your board fairly set, you are looking at different scenarios and potentially preparing yourself for questions that may come up on the test and may not, but you want to make sure you cover everything thoroughly.
This is your first as a general manager. How different is it from your previous role in personnel evaluation?
Well, you know, it's similar, but yet it is different in the sense that, you know, you have the chance to really work together with a lot of different people, certainly Joe and Chud, Ray Farmer, working together with them, building a collaborative effort is important. And I think that's really what matters most, studying the philosophy and being able to work together towards that. That's kind of what's been really fun.
One of the things that's different, and or maybe this is the same in different organizations where there is a change in the GM role, is that there was a scouting staff already in place and, in fact, fully intact that you are working with. How much of a process was involved to get that group up to speed with how you see things and how Joe Banner sees things, how the organization sees things, versus just implementing everything you do your way?
Well, I think everything's about change, and I think there's moments of change, and certainly with Chud coming in and going over what we believe to be the characteristics of a player as we move forward for what he wants to do offensively, defensively, and then the kicking game. And then it's my job to make sure that everybody's on the same page in the department that I run, and having Ray there, having his assistants to do that really has been helpful. So we've really tried to just work together. Everybody knows that it's probably not exactly the one system that we're going to be in right now or moving forward, but we're all adaptable and we all have to change a little bit and modify it so we get the best results.
Are you happy with the fact that everybody is on the same page?
I'm happy with everybody being on the same page, and I think the work ethic has been very good, and I think we all have a common goal, which is to get the best player for the Browns.
And give us a sense of what your typical day is like in these days leading up to the draft, and maybe how different it is than what you started with when you first arrived here.
Well, you know, my day's pretty much the same since January 18th when I got hired. I think the next day I came in and you start watching tape and you spend some time, early January, February, spending more time on the pro side of it. And then lately you've been spending all your time on the college. So it's about tape. It's about writing reports. It's about asking questions. It's about making sure you manage people, you lead people. So it's all been this pretty much the same since I got hired. It's been a lot of excitement in terms of being back with the team.
Was there any transition personally that you had to make from having spent several years working media, even though you had previously done the personnel thing, to going into a role like this? Did you have to retrain any part of yourself to deal with this?
You had to retrain yourself, and the college game is changed, even though I worked on the NFL draft for the NFL Network. But I think there's the depth of that certainly doesn't magnify itself into a building a draft board, so that certainly changed. And, you know, the constant every single day, you know, on TV you still get off days off. I think it's important to keep building your momentum while you're doing this job. But it's been fun. I wouldn't have anything other way.
When the board is up there, and we use the term board is set, how truly set do you believe a board really is before the draft itself? And do you find yourself occasionally or even constantly kind of staring at what those names are and how you have it playing out and say, maybe this should be moved here, or we want to slide this piece there?
Well, I think it's most important when you're building a foundation for sustained success is to make sure you build a team, not collect players. And I think you have to have a philosophy that's outside your board, where you believe the game is won and the essence of the game is the most important, and what players determine how the game is ultimately won is what you tend to gravitate your eyes towards. Not necessarily a certain position, but this, to me, the foundation and the core strength of what you believe.
Mike Lombardi, the general manager of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mike, the information gathering process, we always hear this is a puzzle, and it's put together with many pieces in different forms. Obviously, the tape of the games played during the fall by college teams, and then there are the bowl games, the All-Star games, the BCS games, whatever, and then the combine and the individual workouts, on and on and on, and everything is pieced together. But as you sort of put that Browns puzzle together, what is any one particular area maybe carrying more weight with you just because of how you've done it and what you've learned from the Al Davises and the Bill Walshes?
Well, I think it really comes back to the playing of football, the tape, and then making sure you understand the tape. You know, the thing about the draft is you really have to determine the level of competition of the players playing against one another. And the more you build the board, the longer within the draft process you learn about the players, maybe not the ones you're watching as much as who they're playing against. So that helps you determine the level of comp, and I think that's really important. And level of comp, Coach Walsh used to talk about it all the time. Al Davis was obsessed with it, was determining what the level of comp was. I mean, to say you watched every game of a player is probably not good use of your time, because four of the games may be against level of comp that's not worthwhile. So it's about making sure you understand who he's playing against, the player he's with, and when he's productive, and who is he productive against. So I think that's the challenge.
You have so many options with your sixth overall pick. You'd have so many options, I guess, wherever that pick falls. But certainly being in that top 10 area, there's the trade possibility. The trade down scenario is the predominant one that's being speculated upon. How do you arrive at the decision to trade down versus sitting there to make the pick? And does it include what you would, of course, pick up and trade, but targeting the player with that additional pick, and for the sake of discussion, an additional getting a second rounder back?
Well, the draft's all about value, and I think it's important to value the players, and it's important to grade the players, and the grade signifies value. So you always have to be cognizant of not the names of the players, but the value of the players, and I think that's the challenge. So when you get a trade offer, you have to take emotion out of it and be clinical in the analysis of the value and the value you've determined, and then that's how you best move forward. I think you have to take emotion away from it.
Joe Banner mentioned in the news conference earlier today that the two of you had that this isn't the flat draft that so many analysts like to call it, and saying that there is a lot of good talent available in the upper tier. Just give us a sense of what that talent looks like to you, and what the deeper positions are, et cetera.
Well, you know, it's always you know, having worked for Coach Walsh, he always would bristle at the notion that drafts were defined by certain characteristics. And I think all drafts are unique. And 3 years from now, when we look back on this draft, it'll have its own unique qualities. And I think the challenge that we face in evaluating it is to determine those unique qualities before we wait 3 years. And I think that's whatever goes on. And also, the depth of the draft doesn't really signify anything, because as long as the Browns get seven good players, that's all that matters. Whether 28 other teams get seven good players is not of interest to the Browns. So I think that's really a fallacy. So we just have to value the players and draft them accordingly.
Another thing that Joe Banner mentioned was the discussions are constant, and he said at some point the Browns will have discussions with probably all the 31 other teams in the league regarding possible trades, and they don't necessarily have to be first round, but just food for thought discussions or whatever. Can you walk through what those typical conversations are like, and how do they formulate? How do they come? Is it mostly you guys dialing them, or do they dial you?
It goes both ways. I think, you know, everybody's inquisitive, especially in the last week before the draft. Everybody wants to kind of play those games, and everybody loves. I mean, that's why ESPN has a draft tracker for the NBA. They love the trades, and I think that it's fun to do. But you know, you sit there. People certainly express an interest. They want to move up, or they want to move down. Teams that maybe aren't picking in the top 50 want to try to get a 50th pick or move up. So they, you know, you kind of have a sense of where teams are, and early on you'll have a sense of how the clean team grades the draft, and you can pretty much determine if they want out of the draft or they want in the draft by their actions. And I think if you want to move into that direction, you can, whether it's positively moving more picks or getting or reducing your pick load.
And I don't know if enough is said about this. I think it's as critical for you to know what the other teams are going to do, what you're pretty certain they're going to do or think confidently they're going to do, as much as it is to know what you want to do. Really, all your moves are determined in many ways by understanding as thoroughly as you can the needs and decision patterns of the other teams.
No question. I think it comes down to information. We're in the information business, and I think the better we know the teams around us, the better teams we know, that we'll know their actions. Plus, you have to know the people that are making the picks. And, you know, if guys that have been in organizations for a long time, you certainly have a sense of who they like and who they might pick, and you have to understand that.
And is that like a collective, collaborative conversation where you, Joe, other scouts, whatever, get involved and throw that stuff into a pot?
I think you break down their team, how they were built, and experience matters. I think it does matter in drafting, and I think when you look at how a guy has picked, it would seem logical that a player Y would be interesting to him. So you just kind of have a sense of it, and if it proves out to be right, you just tuck it in your memory bank.
How excited are you for what is coming forth now in a matter of, again, a week to get your first chance at this as a general manager? How much are you looking forward to it? Is it sleepless nights? I mean, nervous? What's the attitude?
I'm excited. I think it's just more preparation. I just want to make sure we cover it. I think that there's never a sense of contentment, and there's never a sense that we got it. I just want to make sure we cover all the bases. So I think there's going to be a lot of hours spent between now and Thursday.
Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mike Lombardi, general manager of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease America's best-selling truck, the F-150, for only $229. That's right, only $229 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
It just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak and Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent breaded boneless wings on Wednesday. Great time, great food. Get to Quaker Steak and Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
Browns fans unite. Season tickets are on sale now. Purchase your season tickets today and be a part of the tradition of Cleveland Browns football live at First Energy Stadium, home of the Cleveland Browns. Great seat locations are open in the general seating bowl and club level. For more information on becoming a new Cleveland Browns season ticket holder, visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. That's 440-824-3434.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
NGB has changed the tire business with ready-to-roll all-inclusive pricing. The lowest installed price on tires guaranteed. And now through Sunday at NGB, get big rebates on the biggest brands. Up to $160 with your Service Central credit card. Cooper, up to $100 off. Bridgestone, up to $120 off. Nitto, up to $150 off. And Goodyear, up to $160 off. And your tires are ready to roll with all the extras at no extra charge. Hurry to NGB for big rebates on the biggest brands. Up to $160 off. Now through Sunday. Up to $160 off select in-stock tires after mail-in rebates on four tire purchases made on the Service Central credit card. Subject to credit approval and 42813. Void where prohibited. See NGB.com for details. Big rebates on the biggest brands. Up to $160 off. You're ready to roll. NGB. Service, tires, and oil.
My daughter is a handful. I've always had to keep my eye on her, but I didn't always watch out for myself. With so much noise about healthcare, I tuned it all out. With United Healthcare, I get information that matters. My individual health profile, not random statistics. They even reward me for addressing my health risks. So, I'm doing fine. But she's still going to give me a heart attack.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
New car?
New Honda Accord. Rearview camera and Bluetooth hands-free link.
You're so into technology these days, LOL.
Most people are.
IDK, you going through a midlife crisis?
No. Hondas hold their value better than any other brand.
A lot of guys compensate for their age with techie gadgets. NBD.
Get a Honda Accord with 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers at the Really Big Spring event, now at your Honda dealer.
The Bluetooth Ford Mark and logos are owned by the Bluetooth SAG Inc. and any use of such marks by Honda Motor Company Limited is under license. Value retention claim based on ALG's 2013 model year residual value award for mainstream brands. Visit ALG.com for more info. See dealer for financing details.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Rebel Wireless and Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, given how many new players have been added to this Browns team this offseason, we've pretty much had almost a daily feature of introducing you to new players. And we continue that today with Shane Graham. We're going to get to meet him a little bit. He sits down with Jameer Howerton right now. Jameer, take it away.
Thanks, Vic. Well, Shane, you've had 3 days to be in your new surroundings here at the Cleveland Browns. Welcome. And how was camp?
Camp was good. You know, they didn't have me doing a whole lot while I was here just because they knew that, you know, this is typically earlier in the year for most veteran guys take a couple months off after the season. And, you know, so I had literally just got back to kicking just a couple weeks ago and at a very, you know, spread out intervals, so hadn't been kicking a lot, but I got a good day of kicking in yesterday, kicking with the snappers and the holders and our snapper, and we had a couple holders, so you know I was able to get some reps in. It felt good to get my legs swinging again, see the ball flying, seeing it flying well, and you know I look forward to being able to do it when they're live bullets.
What's it been like working with your new coordinator?
You know, he's kind of a light-spirited guy. The guys like him, and, you know, I'm sure he'll get on you when things are tough. But, you know, you tell that the guys like him, and, you know, you look at the stats from the last couple of years where he's been here, and he's done a good job. So, obviously, he's doing something right. So when you see those type of numbers and you see the way that you know, guys respond to their coach, you know, there's something good coming out of that. So I look forward to being a part of it and trying to help it out as much as I can.
How's it been bonding with your teammates?
They're good guys. You know, we've got a group of young guys that you know, we're all kind of fighting for jobs, so we don't really know who's who, you know, who's going to be the person. It's way too early for that, but you know, Christian's a good snapper, and you know, the punters we have in here, both of them are getting a lot of reps in at holding, and both of them hit the ball well today punting the ball. So, you know, I'm sure we'll probably do a lot of flip-flopping and getting everyone a chance to get some reps in at holding, and it'll be fun.
Now, you're very familiar with the AFC North, having played with the Cincinnati Bengals as well as the Baltimore Ravens. Talk about how tough this division is, Shane.
I mean, I think it's got a reputation around the league with everyone of being a really tough division. You know, you get a lot of bad weather games. You get a lot of kind of old-school hard-nosed football games. And, you know, it's something that I've become accustomed to seeing. You know, I can't necessarily say I've been accustomed to playing it because my role as a kicker is to kick the ball. I'm not out there busting anybody's tails or anything, but let somebody come my way and see what happens. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's you know, I've experienced it over the years. You know, all the stadiums can be very challenging, but you know, that's a part of your experience, is learning how to adapt to different atmospheres and different you know, field conditions, weather, wind, you know, stadium wind patterns, things like that. And, you know, that's something that I've taken pride in over the years, is knowing how to make those adaptations. And, you know, I look forward to having a few more chances to kick here, you know, since I've always been on the other sideline. You know, it'll be a different experience for me. But, you know, in the last couple of years, I've kind of been doing a lot of that. So I've gotten used to it.
Take me through your off season. What do you have going on around this time of the year?
Right now, you know, most of the off season's been all working out. You know, I haven't really done a lot of kicking just because I give my leg a break after the season. But right now, you know, kicking's starting to ramp back up. You know, kick two or three times a week, work out almost every day, some one way or another, whether it's, you know, even if I'm not on the field or, you know, running or in the weight room lifting on the weekends, you know, I'm riding a bike or, you know, I'm kayaking or I'm doing something active to try to keep myself going. And, you know, it also, this time of year, you don't have a whole lot going on because, you know, workout's really all you have. So
right.
I try to keep busy so my mind doesn't go stagnant and go crazy. So, you know, I try to do as many active things as possible. But, you know, besides golf, you know, working out's really my life right now.
And as you come into this new environment, what is your overall mindset?
See the ball, kick the ball. That's really all I can, you know, put into it. If I make it more than it is, then I'm already going to, you know, get thoughts I don't need and get, you know, there's nothing really to worry about, but, you know, line the ball up, put it down the middle, and, you know, hopefully I can execute that. And that's what the team wants me to do, and that's what I've, you know, enjoyed and loved doing over the past few years. And, you know, hopefully I get a lot of opportunities to do that.
I like what you said during camp. You mentioned about Phil Dawson. You said, I'm not here to try to replace anybody. I'm here to do what I need to do, and that's kick the ball.
Yeah. And, you know, and Phil's a great kicker. And, you know, I would never try to come in here. And I know he's a fan favorite, and he's, you know, he's a legend around here. But, you know, that can't cross my thought process that I've got to live up to any expectations, because, you know, really all that matters is how I'm kicking. And, you know, that's all I can focus on is my kicking and kicking well, because if I kick well and do well, then, you know, fans will like me. So really all that matters is performing, and if I start putting too much on it, then all of a sudden, you know, it's letting myself make mistakes, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're getting those chants, we won't feel, you know, like I've seen it and happen to other guys in other stadiums and, you know, over the years, and, you know, I know they don't like it, so my job is to go out, perform to my best, and not worry about what any other variables around me.
Well, Shane, welcome to the Browns again. I can't wait to get my weather reports from you, too, man.
Okay, well, I'll give you those. I know, you know, today started out 68. It got a little bit higher. The sun came out a little bit, and the wind came out to about 22 miles an hour, so it wasn't too bad.
Thank you, Shane. Back to you, Vic.
All right, thank you, Jameer, and thank you, Shane Graham. And very interesting to hear his takes on especially the obvious, the one that so many people have talked about, I think, from the instant Phil Dawson became a San Francisco 49er, that the next guy, you know, all he has to do is miss one. And you know, it's no joke, but the idea that fans will get very upset and be very impatient and start the chants of "We want Phil, we want Phil." And Shane Graham, a veteran, understanding that it's a tough situation to be in, and you wonder. And it all depends. It's about performance. The decision, look, is going to come down to who's the better kicker, the more consistent guy. We know that's the obvious thing. But I think, too, how much of that mindset of the veteran kicker versus the young guy who's not done it in the NFL, who's barely done it at the collegiate level, Brandon Bogate, will that be factored into the thinking, handling the pressure of not just being a kicker, but being the guy replacing the legendary Phil Dawson? And that's something that you wonder in the decision-making process. You wonder how much that's going to be discussed or factored in. Anyhow, we're going to talk about all other things that went on today. And again, there was activity. You had the third and final day of minicamp, and you had a press conference. The CEO of the Browns, Joe Banner, Michael Lombardi, the general manager meeting with the media. So we'll get some thoughts on that and on how this team is looking after these few days of minicamp and where it's got to go with a week to go to the draft. So Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram covers the Browns. He's going to join me to do that next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The best deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease the best-selling fuel-efficient Focus for only $129. That's right, only $129 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Spokane, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
It just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak and Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent breaded boneless wings on Wednesday. Great times, great food. Get to Quaker Steak and Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
Are you ready to make some big plays this season? Like growing your savings, buying a home, or even building a business? At First Merit Bank, we'd like to assist you with your goals, whatever they may be. So no matter what your next play is, we're ready to help you make it happen. It's your game plan. How can we help? First Merit Bank. You first. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
All this market volatility is really unsettling.
I don't understand how earnings can go up, but stocks go down.
I know Europe has debt issues, but I don't understand why this affects my portfolio.
I need someone to look out for my financial goals and interests.
Investing today can be complicated, but with the right partner, it doesn't have to be. I'm Brian Kurtz with Baird Wealth Management in Cleveland. Baird has guided local families and businesses through the challenges of the last decade. Our global resources and research keep the big picture in perspective, while our deep expertise in financial, tax, and estate planning ensure the advice we give is tailored to your specific needs. And because we're employee-owned, you can trust that everyone at Baird is fully invested in your success.
Discover the advantage of a financial partner with your best interests in mind. Visit BairdCleveland.com. Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. What will get a burglar out of your house faster, a siren or the voice of a live person telling him he's been caught and the authorities are on their way? The answer is the voice, which is why Alarm Force's live two-way voice is the best way to protect your home. Only with Alarm Force, you get live two-way voice at no charge and only $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Football Thursday, a busy one. Victor Ritchie with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans unite. Season tickets are on sale now. Be part of the tradition of Cleveland Browns football live at First Energy Stadium. Great seat locations are open in the general seating bowl and club level. For more information on new Browns season tickets, visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. And also want to tell you that at 8 p.m. tonight, so about an hour and a half, a little less than an hour and a half from now, the NFL schedule will be announced. NFL Network will be breaking that information out and down. And at 8 p.m. Eastern, make sure you're logged on to clevelandbrowns.com to get the Browns schedule, to get our analysis of the schedule. Going to be doing all that. And also one other thing on Monday, this coming Monday, April 22nd, noon Eastern. I mention Eastern because for those of you listening to streams and different time zones around the country, around the world, yours truly, will be part of what's called a Real Talk Chat. And it will be a chat that centers, of course, on the upcoming draft, on the team in general, and we may want to talk about the schedule. You know, there are a lot of little interesting things. So there will be plenty to talk about, of course, on the schedule on tomorrow's show, but plenty to talk about then with you. And to talk with us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is our great buddy from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Does an outstanding job of covering the Browns, and he is Scott Petrick. Scott, thanks for joining us today. I know it's been busy for both of us.
Yeah, no kidding. No problem, Vic.
Yeah, and it's a busy one because we started the morning with a pretty full day out there with the final day of minicamp, and I want to start with that, actually, the final of the 3 days, and you were there for all of them, and they were out on the field today versus the field house, so could kind of stretch their legs a little bit and have a little more open atmosphere. And again, I know media-wise you don't get to see a ton, maybe 20 minutes or so at the max, but what were your during each of the practices, what were your major takeaways from minicamp?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I'd say that Brandon Reedon, you know, the quarterback, he took the first team reps. You know, I think there was some question about that coming in, how many would Jason Campbell get, and we talked to Joe Thomas, and he said that Campbell got all the twos, and then Reedon got all the ones. So I thought that was noteworthy. And then you see a bunch of new faces. I think there's 17 new players, 18 new coaches, you know, including Chud and then all the assistants. And they just do things a little different. You know, every coach has his own little thing. I noticed that the receivers were doing a drill where they start on their knees and then they go low to make a catch to keep the ball from hitting the ground. And, you know, you just see little stuff like that. And then you see them trying to install the 3-4 defense, which is probably one of the biggest changes we'll see under this new staff.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Rob Gronkowski called this a teaching camp more than an evaluating camp, and I believe him to a large extent. And the teaching was fast and furious. I mean, guys were definitely doing things enthusiastically. Lots of speed, I think you could see on both sides of the ball, and lots of high-energy effort, but also mistakes. I mean, people were lined up in some wrong spots, predictably, right? And it looked like the coaches had to do their share of, no, you're over here, can't have this many receivers on this side. I mean, things, because it's new scheming on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, there's so much to learn. And, you know, these guys, we think it's all just football, but there's a lot of intricacies in the language change and the terminology. So I think they've only had 2 weeks, not a full week, just 2 weeks, of even learning the playbook and being in a classroom. And this is the first time they could take it to the field, kind of 11-on-11, offense versus defense. So you're bound to have a ton of mistakes. And that was one of the things Chud stressed, is that it's a learning, teaching week, and we're not really evaluating what player X is doing compared to player Y. But he did say, having said that, that he was impressed with Brandon Whedon's ability to take what they learned, apply it to the field, and he thought he liked the direction that was going, and if it continued in the effort and the focus, that he thought they were going to be fine.
Yeah, he got into the whole retention thing and transferring knowledge from classroom to field, all of that. And, yeah, I kind of laugh a little bit to myself, because when I hear, we're not evaluating, we're just, this is teaching, there is evaluating going on. Let's face it. They've got to know. What did Rob Gronkowski say to us time and again this offseason when the question repeatedly was asked about, you know, studying Brandon Whedon on film? At some point, there's only so much you can see on tape. It's, we got to get him on the field and we got to see what he does there. So he's being watched and evaluated, obviously, because a huge decision has to be made on who's going to quarterback this team. He's getting the first team reps. He seemingly has the inside track, but I'm thinking he can do a lot to help or hurt his case starting now.
No, you're right, and I think the learning the playbook and being able to operate it, and, you know, if Norv's calling a play, he's able to grasp it. even in a limited time. I think that's what these guys are looking for. You can see on film that Whedon spins the ball, and you can throw it with the best in the NFL. What they're concerned about is, you know, can he pick up our offense, even though it supposedly fits him because he's got a big arm and throws down the field? Can he pick it up? You know, can he lead in the huddle? And I think those are things you can get a taste for through 3 days of minicamp, non-contact practice. I think you get a feel for that. I just don't know if you can make, you know, the determination, you know, can Craig Robertson be an inside linebacker? That's probably going a little too far in 3 days, but you do get a feel for guys. And I think that makes it tough for the team in general from a draft preparation standpoint, is that almost all their information is coming from film. Because Mike Lombardi hasn't been around these guys on the field. Chutt hasn't. Norv hasn't. Ray Horton hasn't. So it's going to be a difficult thing because these 3 days aren't enough to sway your draft board, and all the determination's coming from film.
Yeah, interesting you bring that up. And by the way, we're talking with Scott Petrick, who covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, that, as Mike Lombardi was saying, he's studying for the draft. I mean, there's still a whole lot of work. This minicamp is happening simultaneously with draft prep, and that involves a lot of time and effort. But I think the tie-in here, and this came up during the news conference, the tie-in with regard to the quarterback position. What does it mean that the Browns have worked out Geno Smith and have looked at other quarterbacks? They're going to have a look at E.J. Manuel this weekend, the Florida State quarterback, as it applies to Brandon Whedon's status or security. In my mind, Scott, I think it's just due diligence, right? They've got to know what the other quarterbacks look like, are in this draft, even if they don't necessarily take one, or certainly don't take one high. They might be taking one somewhere along the line, but they've got to know what all of them are about, because it still impacts what happens with other teams that you compete with and draft decisions that are made, and someday those guys might be available as free agents or via trade.
Right, and I agree with you mostly, Vic. Joe Banner said that it's the most important position on the field. We have to know everything we can about all these guys. Because you would hate to, you know, not do your homework on Geno Smith or Ryan Nassib or E.J. Manuel when you had a chance to get him, and all of a sudden 3 years down the road, he's a Pro Bowl, and, like, I can't believe we didn't look into that enough. So you have to know, A, what you're passing on, and B, what you're willing to pass on. So I think it is mainly due diligence. And what's this, though? There's a lot of national guys that keep connecting the Browns to Geno Smith in that first round, whether it's number 6 or number 11. And you know where that comes from. You know, there's a lot of gossip in the NFL. But I think it's interesting that they keep getting connected together, and then the Browns continue to do so much research. So I don't think you can just say flat out there's no chance to take a quarterback. I don't expect them to, and I think Whedon should get a second year, and I think that's kind of where the tea leaves are pointing. But I don't think you can rule out anything come draft day. And Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi kind of left that door open, that the focus is to get the right guy, and they're going to do all their homework they can on these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I can't flat out say anything about this draft. I mean, I'm so reluctant to just say, yeah, they're going to do this. But this is what I feel confident about, this much, that this offseason was devoted, of course, to making the defense better, not simply to redo a 4-3 scheme to a 3-4, which is the convenient explanation for it. It's about bolstering, boosting, investing, and making that side of the ball dominant. And then, from the standpoint of the rest of the roster, or particularly the offense, I think the conclusion was, let's see how these young receivers do. Let's see how the young tight end, Jordan Cameron, does. Let's find out through this offseason, through camp, and pretty much through this whole 2013 season, what we have, and then make your determination next year if you've got to really address that. I know there's been this clamor, they got to get this receiver, they got to get, you know, they got to do more than say get David Nelson, the free agent from Buffalo. People still want to see a Tavon Austin being drafted. I don't see any of that happening, a major investment in a receiver in this draft, because it's about defense, and I think and maintain that what they'll likely do in the first round, wherever that first round pick ends up, and maybe even the second round, is still address defense.
No, I think you're probably right, and I think the main reason is you can look at their offense and go, you know, what, we can line up tomorrow, and we're fine at every position. You can say Jordan Cameron deserves a chance to be the starting tight end. Now, you can argue that they could, you know, help the position, and why not draft the guy, and I'm fine with that. But you can look at the offensive line and say, we're fine. We have, you know, the Browns have three or four receivers you can line up and play, and they have potential. And you can do that for every spot on the offense. Whereas defense, you know, they need a corner. They might need a safety, and they want to add another pass rusher. So I think it just fits, and it follows, like you said, everything they've done through the offseason is let's build this defense, and let's build it in the attacking style Ray Horton wants, which means adding as many pass rushers as we can.
Sure. And, you know, we had Mike Lombardi on the show earlier, Scott, and he, during the press conference, too, Joe Banner brought this up or was asked about the trading scenario and said that at some point there's going to be a discussion with pretty much every team in the league, all 31 other teams, about a possible trade, whether it's first round or somewhere along the line. And some of the calls are initiated by the Browns. Some of them are initiated by other teams. And he basically said that you kicked ideas around. You feel each other out, and that this is a normal part of the process. Now, these discussions may not go anywhere, but I would think that you put that line in the water enough times, something's going to bite.
Especially if you really want to move down. You know, say, I mean, they know, they think they know how the draft's going to play out and how the first five picks are going to be. So say they would rather be picking 12 or 15 or 18, and they really want to pick up that second-round pick, which Joe Banner has alluded to on multiple occasions, that they'd like to get that pick that was used for Josh Gordon last year in the supplemental, then, you know, you can probably find a taker. The key is being able to get enough back for the value you use. You lose, because going from 6 to whether it's 11 or 12 or 18, you lose value, so you have to be able to get enough back. And that's what, you know, that's what they're going to have to weigh. But I, you know, and I think Joe Banner alluded to it, they're going to have willing partners. It's just being able to find the right fit and the right value matchup.
Yeah, and I think the stumper here is, what does the partner want at number 6? Because as wide open as the possibilities are for the Browns, D. Milner, you know, just Deion Jordan, you know, just keep going down the list of different, Geno Smith's name, go down the list of guys that they might consider at 6. It's the same thing for the trade-up people, is who do they target, and who is player X for them that they've got to absolutely positively have at 6 and are certain in their research that the guy isn't going to move down. And, you know, you're playing this double chess game, right? You're making your own moves, but you also have to have a virtual sense of what another team or other teams are doing and anticipate that enough.
Right. And to me, you know, the Arizona's at 7 and Buffalo's at 8. So a team that would want the Browns pick at 6 would be looking to get ahead of either one of those teams. And to me, it comes down to, are you trying to get Lane Johnson, the Oklahoma left tackle, mm-hmm. assuming the other two left tackles have gone already? Do you want D. Milner because you think he's by far and away the best cornerback? Or do you want, you know, maybe one of those pass rushers that falls to there? I think, or Geno Smith, or the quarterback, do you want to get ahead of Buffalo or Arizona? And I think those are the three main guys, you know, that a team would be willing to give up enough to go up to number 6, and the Browns kind of have to hope they have that team that wants it, and then the board falls the right way.
Scott, thanks so much for the knowledge, the breakdown, and I know we'll be doing this again very soon.
Anytime, Vic.
He is Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got more coming up. I'm going to answer some of your questions, comment on your comments to the Browns official Facebook, Twitter pages. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNO.
The best deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease the best-selling Fusion or Escape for only $189. Your choice, only $189. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
At Cleveland Clinic, we'll see you later, today. Access to the best care is easy, with same-day appointments available at convenient locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Call today, 216-444-CARE, or visit clevelandclinic.org.
Hey, Brian. Browns fans. With the NFL draft right around the corner, there's no better time to visit the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The brand new Hall of Fame store is now open, so be sure to get all the latest NFL team apparel. Visit the Pro Football Hall of Fame today. Visit profootballhof.com for details.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi. So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. With over 20 professional features, Cox Business Voice Manager gives you business class service with reliability you can count on. Get business phone for only $35 per line per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Phone modem provided by Cox requires electricity and has battery backup. Access to E911 may not be available during extended power outage. Other restrictions apply.
Your Akron Arrows return home tonight at Canal Park against the Bowie Bay Sox at 6:35 p.m. It's another Ohio Lottery Buck Up Thirsty Thursday. Join us for dollar fountain drinks and drafts all night long. Plus, it's International Jugglers Day. Disco fireworks follow the game tomorrow night, and Jim Clark bobbleheads will be given away Saturday. Tickets start at just $5. For more information, call 800-97-ARROWS or get your tickets online at AkronArrows.com. Akron Arrows Baseball, it's a whole new ballgame.
Here's your Buffalo Wild Wings look at the draft. Today's featured player is outside linebacker Jarvis Jones from Georgia. Ranked 7th on the ESPNCleveland.com big board, Jones started his college career at USC. After suffering a neck injury and not being cleared to play after that injury, Jones transferred to Georgia where he was allowed to play. In 2012, Jones led the nation in sacks, tackles for loss, and forced fumbles. Stop in and follow the draft at B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Go to BuffaloWildWings.com for the location nearest you.
It's Springtoberfest, and that means it's time for a huge savings on a new Volkswagen from Dave Walter VW. Right now through April 30th, exclusively from Dave Walter. Lease a 2013 Volkswagen Jetta for as low as $129 a month, or buy now and make no payments until August 2013. Plus, see many other outstanding savings right now at DaveWalterVW.com. The Springtoberfest sales event, now through April 30th. For VW, see DW, Dave Walter VW, on West Exchange in Akron. Qualified buyers only, see dealer for details.
It's now your chance to Ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back to your questions, comments that you submit to the social media pages of the Browns. The Browns Daily Twitter page, by the way, at Browns_daily. Write directly to yours truly, at VICCARUCCI, and email daily at clevelandbrowns.com. Scott does the email thing. He says, hey, Vic, I have to disagree with you about pass rusher as a number one priority. You know, I've said it on this show. I've written about it for clevelandbrowns.com. If you haven't checked it out there, please do. Scott goes on to say, I don't understand why we ignore the offense year after year. The most glaring need for the Browns, in my opinion, is at wide receiver, Scott says. And he goes on to say, we have had the weakest receivers in the league for years. We draft receivers high and groom them for years, only to have them be busts. Josh Gordon is going to be the exception to this rule, but all other receivers still fit in this category. Okay, and you say other things, but I want to just kind of hit the point there. I think right there where you mentioned Josh Gordon is going to be the exception in your opinion, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think he comes back strong from that very limited rookie season. We just got a taste of what this guy is all about. And there were some dynamic things that happened in the course of that, but just scratching the surface for someone who, it's a cliche now, he didn't have an off season. He didn't do, okay, we know what he didn't have because of what he missed. Now what we know is that, you know, he's a supremely talented player who I think is going to show more of this talent. And that's why, that's not the only reason receiving isn't the big, wide receiver isn't the big push here. We talked about it earlier in the show. I think you've got to see what you have. I think you've got to know what you have from Greg Little, too. I'm not washing him out as you seem to be. I'm not going to wash out Travis Benjamin or Jordan Norwood as slot guys. And we'll see what David Nelson, once he's fully recovered from his knee, what his health, what that is all about. And Jordan Cameron, I think, he looks like a different guy physically to me. And athletically, he's been impressive in practice. All the pass catchers have been running fast and doing things. And by the way, Scott, let's see what North Turner and Rob Chudzinski's offense means to these guys. We know what it means to, or we think we know that it's going to make the quarterback better. We take that leap. It ties in with the receivers, too. It stands to reason that they could benefit a great deal, and I think it's the quarterbacks who will make them better and perform better. And I go along with the plan of just seeing what you have and not, again, going crazy over the idea, oh, no, they got to do something with the receiver. No, it's defense. I think it's defense in the draft and see what next year brings a receiver. Want to thank Mike Lombardi, the general manager of the Browns, for joining us, and Scott Petrick. Want to thank Shane Graham and Jameer Howerton. Want to thank Drew Boatner. Want to thank Lauren Whitaker. And want to thank my outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. And what's next, Dino? It's sports night? All right, that's next. Stick around for that on Cleveland and on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.